Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with Dana Cottrell and Ryan Brewers from XL Energy. Dana, you're a key account manager, and Ryan, you're a field sales engineer. And today you guys are going to teach me all about motors and drives, and I'm here to tell you, we're going to be here for a while if I'm going to learn about motors and drives.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. Glad to be here.
It's really not that hard to learn, so I think we'll do okay.
Based on some of the information I've been looking over before we had this discussion, it sounds like motor systems account for approximately 60 to 70% of the total electricity used in a facility. How can that be? Motors and drives? If I'm thinking about a small office building, I don't have any motors and drives.
Yeah, I would think so, would you?
Can you explain this to me?
Sure. You know, motors kind of do the work for everything that goes on in a building for the most part. And a great example is the ventilation system. Let's talk a little bit about that. Every building has some type of ventilation, I would say. And the only reason that air is moving around is it just doesn't have to do with the wind. It has to do with the motors that are driving fans within the building, within the ventilation equipment. And that's probably one of the key uses of motors in an office building is to do that kind of work. And they're hidden, you don't see them, but you sure benefit, you reap the benefits of the work that they do for you.
So these are the motors driving the fans that circulate the air through through the building, whether it's cooling or heating. That one I can understand.
Yep.
What else?
What else? Good question. Another one that you see frequently in an office building are pumps, motors driving pumps, I should say. You know, you'll see those in schools, in probably larger businesses, but moving liquid around within the facility is really what a pump's all about. And typically, it's some type of coolant or heated water, cooled or heated water, or some type of liquid to do those kinds of things within a building. And they're running most of the time, most of the year. And so you can really appreciate how much energy goes into running that loop around the building and keeping the building warm or cold.
Of course, these are the things we don't think about because we show up and we work and we do our things. And if we're comfortable, we're fine. If we're not, someone screams.
Yeah, it's you know, it's one of those things. If things are working fine, you'll never know it. And that's the way they want it to be.
So, Ryan, are there really some significant savings for an office building in motors and drives?
Absolutely. You know, if you look at a motor in itself, the price of a new motor is typically only about 2% of its life cycle cost. So if you look at, you know, where you can save money, that 98% of the cost of electricity to run that motor is going to give you a big opportunity for savings. So if you've got maybe a ventilation system where you could upgrade a standard efficient motor to a premium efficient motor, you're really looking at a large energy savings potential there by just changing that efficiency of that motor.
Now, how's that going to differ between, say, a 10,000 square foot office building and a 400,000 square foot heavy manufacturing facility?
Probably just the number of motors.
And it could be significantly more, couldn't it?
Yes, it could be significantly more. But as a percentage of the amount of electricity they use, it's still, you know, that's still moving that air or, you know, pumping that fluid is still going to be, you know, still happens in both scenarios, as Dana had mentioned. Mm-hmm. So it's just sheer number.
Now, at XL Energy, we've said this before, you're in the business of creating energy, selling it to business customers and so forth. So you're creating energy, selling it to us. We're using it on our motors and drives. Do you have a rebate program for motors and drives?
Yep. Our rebates, depending on how you're going to replace those, for a motor, we have three different scenarios where you get a rebate. One is on a new motor. You've bought a new motor for a new piece of equipment, or you're replacing a motor that's burned out. Those rebates can range anywhere, I believe, from $25 up to $2,250, going anywhere from 1 horsepower all the way up to 200 horsepower, or I'm sorry, 500 horsepower. So that's on any new motor or one that's burned out. If you're going to retrofit a motor, meaning you're replacing an inefficient motor with a more efficient motor, those rebates have gone up quite substantially for this year. So you're looking at anywhere from a 1-horsepower motor to a 500 horsepower motor, I believe ranging from $400 all the way up to
$200.
No, I believe it was $13,000, I believe. Yeah, $13,500 for a 500 horsepower motor. And that's based on maybe the efficiencies of the new motor that you're putting in.
Dana, we should never argue with an engineer. He's throwing around percentages and numbers. That's the way it works. Now, you gentlemen have been telling me that it's worthwhile to have a motor management plan in place. What's that all about? Why should a business owner be thinking about a motor management plan with all the other things they have to think about?
Well, it typically is cheaper to replace things before they break than once they break. So if it's a production facility and a motor breaks, your production might be down. So what does that cost you? So the idea is if you're going to look at a system, a motor replacement system, you might want to start replacing motors before they fail. So as they get towards their end of life, you'd be a little bit more proactive and start replacing those or retrofitting those motors before they fail. You know, the new premium motors, NEMA premium motors, typically run cooler, which means they're going to last longer. So you're going to have less breakdowns there than that maybe a standard efficient motor.
Now, we've talked in a previous podcast about an energy on-site energy assessment plan. When they come out and do that, do they take motors and drives into account and try to figure out the energy usage there as well?
Yep, and they'll give you, in those, they'll give you kind of an estimated savings. They'll look at what you have existing as the motor, look at what of its efficiency is, how well it runs, and then if you were able to retrofit that with a NEMA premium motor, what the energy savings between those would be, what the payback's going to be. Typically with motors, you're probably looking anywhere from a 2 to 3 year payback time by going to a more efficient motor.
So an on-site energy assessment, what you learn from that can actually be the basis for which you can put together a motor management plan and a building management plan. So you take into account the age of your equipment, the age of your motors, the age of your cooling, the age of the heating, and then you try to anticipate what might break down first and, mm-hmm. and where the most savings come from.
Yeah.
Now, when you're putting together a sophisticated motor management plan, do you have people to help with that as well?
The easiest way to do it is if you call our Business Solutions Center, they can get you started on that, going down that road. We can get a hold of them by calling 1-800-481-4700. Or
you could email us at bsc@xlenergy.com.
Now, these motors and drives could apply to any number of different types of buildings. That could be manufacturing, retail, hospitals, colleges, office buildings, mm-hmm. and they're all different.
They're all different, but the motors are for the most part, function in the same manner. They spin a shaft that does some piece of work in a building.
And as we're learning throughout this series, if you've got any equipment that uses electricity, there's probably a rebate program
yep. yes.
from XL Energy yep. to help you be more efficient at mm-hmm. using that energy.
Absolutely.
Okay, the last thing that we haven't talked about was variable frequency drives. This sounds like one for you, Ryan. I don't think Dana can handle that
one. Oh, yeah. It's okay.
What's that all about?
What we do with a variable frequency drive is it allows us to control maybe the amount of energy or the frequency that a motor runs at. So we can actually, based on maybe demand, we can slow down or speed up that motor versus just turning it on or off. As an example, if we need air conditioning in an office space, if we just turn on a motor, it's going to cool it down and then it's going to shut off until it needs to be cooled again. So we turn a motor on and it uses a lot of energy to turn that motor on, and then it kind of settles down and does its work, and then we turn it off. Well, a better use of energy would be to put like maybe a variable frequency drive on that motor, so when we turn it on, we can kind of ramp up and not hit such a inrush of electricity when we're turning it on. And then instead of turning it off, we can slow it down to maybe more of an idle speed, so we're consuming less electricity. We're still keeping the air moving, still keeping that on, or maybe we don't have to kick on the air conditioning quite as much to help control the temperature in the space.
So this is an alternative, just like we talked about in cooling, to having that switch, that energy-saving switch, so that during peak usage you're not pulling that extra demand?
Sure. So again, we're trying to, it has twofold, where we're you know, keeping that inrush of electricity from coming on when we turn it on, but also then we can throttle it back when it doesn't need to be used as much, and we're using a lot less electricity by just, you know, maybe at an idle speed versus turning it off and then turning it back on and using a big inrush of electricity again.
Makes sense to me, mm-hmm. And if I can understand it, the business owner should too. I want to ask you a question. In the first podcast, we talked about some huge energy savings that you were able to help the University of Minnesota with in 2009, but we didn't dig into that too much. I'm assuming you got into lighting and maybe cooling, and did you get into motors and drives when you were over there?
You know, I don't have any direct experience with them, but I'm sure we did a lot of lighting and motors and drives. But we do that with all of our customers. And
they've got a lot of buildings over there.
Yeah. I mean, we've got a lot of campuses that we deal with, our campus-type settings. A real good application might be for a drive, for instance, is to look at the pumping of the hot and cold water systems around the campus. Of course, you know, it's not always 20 below in Minnesota. We know that.
July, we need cooling.
Or on the flip side of that, it's not always 110 degrees and humid either. So a real good opportunity to install a variable frequency drive would be on their pumping systems. In fact, I just completed a rebate for a customer. They put in two 200-horse variable frequency drives to pump their coolant and their heating hot water throughout their systems. That's going to save them. Oh, somewhere in the neighborhood, I think we calculated about 500,000 kilowatt hours a year by putting those two units in.
And what's that to equate to in,
you know, that's about $30,000 to $40,000 a year in electricity savings.
Wow, the payback on that had to be just fast.
Yeah, it was
fast.
I think it was 3 or 4 years at the most. So it's very quick payback, and like Ryan mentioned, it really right-sizes, you know, the requirements that you have for the system. The variable frequency drive can do that for you. So they have really good applications out there for a variety of different opportunities that you might have within your facility. So it's worth thinking about. And we have great rebates to go with them.
I'm learning you've got lots of rebates, yeah. And they're doubled, yeah, this year.
Yeah. Or even
more.
A lot.
Yeah. Or even more.
Yeah.
Or more.
Especially,
now I know
especially
how
the
to
motor
tie
side.
An engineer's tongue. Show him great savings, and he goes, oh. Well, guys, it is clear to me that when you think about energy savings, the first thing that comes to mm-hmm. mind might be lighting or cooling or some yeah. of those things, but motors and drives, I never would yeah. have thought of that.
You know, I wanted to add one more thing to that story earlier, and you're right, Tom, this is a great opportunity for customers, but we've seen with the new rebate levels where we would cover, you know, 60% of the cost to install a variable frequency drive in a site. And that 60% would include not just the piece of equipment, but also the labor to install it. So it's really a good opportunity to consider.
And that makes that payback so great that Ryan gets all excited on us.
That's right.
Ryan, any final thoughts on motors and drives?
Well, I was going to share a story as well. Happened to be a larger office building, about 42 stories. And they had a study done where they determined that they could go through and switch out 8 pumps and 8 motors to more high-efficient motors. And then also added, I believe, 27 variable frequency drives to existing motors in the plant, in their office building. What that allowed them to do in 1 year was save just about $71,000 in energy savings. So when you take into the cost of the pumps, or I'm sorry, the motors, the 16 motors that they upgraded to NEMA premiums, and then the cost of the variable frequency drives, they had a simple payback of about 2.5 years. So
wow.
They were able to do a pretty major renovation, but the energy savings was so great that they paid for that in under 3 years.
And at the end of 2.5 years, they were saving $70,000 a year, plus whatever the mm-hmm. cost of the energy might be 2.5 years from now.
Absolutely.
That's a great story. Dana, any final thoughts on motors and drives?
You know, the one thing I would just kind of want to leave everyone with is that, you know, when you're thinking about buying a motor, think about getting a premium efficiency motor. It's important to recognize the difference between NEMA premium and high efficiency or other type of nomenclature that's out there around motors. Our standard is NEMA premium. So think about that. It's on our website. And if you have any questions, give us a call. shoot us an email, or just visit our website, and we'll be able to help differentiate that difference for you.
So if you got a motor breaking down, don't just replace it with whatever might have been there.
Right.
Let's talk about what might run a little more efficiently in the future and maybe last longer for that good usage anyway.
Yeah, and we'll pick, you know, our rebates will help cover that cost. So think about that, but we want to help you out with that.
Terrific. And once again, gentlemen, where do we get started on this?
Call us at 1-800-481-4700.
Or?
You can email us at bsc@xlenergy.com.
Okay, gentlemen, Dana Cottrell, Key Account Manager, XL Energy, and Ryan Brewer, a Field Sales Engineer from XL Energy, thanks for joining us today to talk about motors and drives and rebates from XL Energy right here on todaysbusinessradio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to Today's Business Radio.